Unit 38, that's a 10-1, the TAP 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer and the listener, get to know a little bit more about the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Again, welcome. Melissa, it's nice to see you as always. How have you been?
It's good to see you too. I've been pretty good. Yeah. Morgan.
Yeah, we don't see each other too often anymore, right?
No.
Yeah,
I missed you.
Your
face.
I missed you.
Face, as a matter of fact. How's that?
That face is doing well. I've grown a little facial hair since I retired. I like it. My wife, not so much, but we'll move forward with the interview. Here we go.
Jess, we'll see what we can do to help you out, girl.
All right. Sounds good. How do you do, sir? And who are you?
I'm well. My name is Randy Cupp. I'm a captain in the Special Investigations Division.
And it's good to see Randy. It's been about 2 months since we last saw one another. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, unfortunately, when the Lions Bridge season ended.
Yes. And since we're on that topic, big fan.
Yeah.
And you were with Lions Bridge. And for those of you who don't know, Lions Bridge is a team that plays here in Newport News at CNU Stadium, Christopher Newport University. And you were with them from the beginning as a fan.
I did. At the time, I was coaching in Newport News Rec League. And so it was just a great leeway into it. So, yeah, I still have my SCARF founding member.
Wow.
But yeah, season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Every year.
You love it.
I love it. Love going out there.
And the family goes with you.
It is. It's a family event. It's a friend event. Co-workers there.
Yeah.
Might have gotten a couple others.
Yeah, we've seen each other there many a time. So, all right. So let's start by introducing yourself. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Well, I'm from Newport News. So born here, grew up here. The only time I've lived out of the area is military from the Army. Went to school at Warwick River, Richneck, Epps, moved around a little bit. Parents got divorced, so I moved to Gloucester. So I grew up between Denby and Gloucester.
Okay.
Joined the U.S. Army in reserves when I graduated high school. Got out, started doing some different jobs. Joined the Gloucester County auxiliary program. That's how I got certified. But the Army, I was a military police.
So if we can stop just for a moment.
Sure.
Did the military take you to any foreign lands?
Yeah, I got to go to Central America.
Okay.
Oof.
All right. So, you were there for a bit, eh?
Not too long, but I guess I was dictated as a hot weather a soldier. Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas. Fort McClellan, Alabama.
Gracious.
Wow.
And Fort Eustis, which was fine. I grew up around Fort Eustis, so
yeah,
I was good with that. But when I took my ASVAB, they show you a list. Like after your scores, they show you a list of the jobs that you can have. And I was 17, and I saw military police. And like I said, I grew up around Fort Eustis, and I remember the MPs at Fort Eustis. Man, they were sharp.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. And you didn't speed.
No. So no.
You're driving the other way. My first job was a lifeguard at the officer club and the
you're kidding.
And the sample.
Fort Eustis?
Yeah. And you're driving. You think you're pretty cool. You're driving. You see the MPs coming. You're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
10
yeah,
to 2.
Yeah.
So I saw that when I was 17, and I was like, wow, I could do that. And that's what got me into law enforcement. So Army was great for me. Went from being a teenager to like really learning adult values, and just having that MOS really introduced me to a lot of police officers, especially in the area. So I joined the auxiliary academy, so volunteered to get the academy. It's pretty tough to get hired on without experience.
Sure.
But back in 1998 when I was in there, and luckily I got a job right before I graduated with Gloucester, and that's where I started off with.
And so for our viewers and our listeners, when you talk about auxiliary police work, that means you do it free.
That's right. That's
so
right.
You go out there and you take the same inherent risks that every law enforcement officer takes, but you do it for free. It's out of the goodness of your heart that you go out and serve people. Money has absolutely zero to do with it.
No, it was a way to get my foot in the door.
Okay.
And it is. It's volunteer. You go to the. I went to the academy while I was working other jobs. You study on your own time.
Right.
You go when you can. You have to go to all the classes, but it was a couple of evenings a week, and then on the weekends.
How incredible!
Yep. But luckily, I was able to get picked up pretty quick, and
yeah. And I think we all three share some military connections as well, right? Yeah, we all three.
I mean, Fort Eustis to begin with.
Yeah, to begin with, right?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's incredible. And I received my first speeding ticket on Fort Eustis.
Oh, I can't.
I think
say
it was
that.
My first one. Yeah, I think I was doing 6 miles over the speed limit in the '80s.
See?
Yeah, I mean they were tough.
See, I went the speed limit.
Yeah, you did. I did not. So, but that's the past.
But that's how you got into police work in general, right? Got pulled over.
Yeah.
I know the story.
I got pulled over in Newport News. Yeah. Yeah, let's move along, Melissa. Don't you have a question for me?
Oh, I guess I'll take that move. Yeah. So Gloucester, how does that translate into Newport News?
Yeah.
What was the nexus that brought you to Newport News from Gloucester?
Well, on both of them, it was where I grew up. So I had history in Gloucester. I knew a lot of people there. Just think over time. I knew a lot of Newport News officers through the profession, through growing up. So I still had friends from Denby that came over here as well. And just got to know a lot of people. And I think just got to a point where I just saw all the different opportunities at Newport News. And I go right back to Morgan on this one. One memory that really stands out was when I went to field training officer school. And at the time, Sergeant Tejans was actually primary instructor.
I was.
And Sergeant Uzzle was also an instructor in there.
At the regional academy, correct?
That's right. That's right. After it had even moved from CNU. It was not at CNU anymore.
That's correct.
We were in the new
Your
building.
Your memory does not fail you.
Yeah. So not just conversations with Sergeant Tejans, but the Newport News officers that were in there that I didn't know, just the conversations that they were having. You listen to these guys and women that had worked in patrol together or had known each other, gone to the academy together, something along those lines. And you could listen to how their paths, how they had done different things, different investigative units, different specialty units. I mean, they had an officer there, a sergeant there that was a full-time trainer, which Newport News always had. Newport News, Hampton and Portsmouth, I think, at the regional academy. So I just saw all these different opportunities out there and some different paths that you can go down. And even though people had gone different paths, like they were still having conversations as if they worked a shift together. And that camaraderie was just, it just really stood out. And it just made me start rethinking what I wanted to do with my law enforcement career. At the time I was going to Christopher Newport University to finish up my degree because I didn't do it the traditional way,
I don't think none of us have. Right? There isn't a single one of us up here that did it the traditional way.
So my undergrad was traditional.
But, oh, that's right. Your master's was
but
not.
But my master's
yeah.
was
very, yeah, nothing about me is traditional.
Very grown up.
It was very grown up.
Very grown up. Very different. Yeah. Yeah.
So you were doing your degree while working full time.
Full time.
I did.
Wow, that's tough.
I did. Yeah, so it was a lot of that, and I don't have a bad thing to say about my time in Gloucester. I think some people really thrive in the smaller agencies with the smaller communities. There's different things that happen in Newport News, and again, right. I had a lot of ties to Newport News, and it took a little while. It was a lot of thought and a lot of conversations with people I knew
that you trusted. I imagine
I did.
Yeah,
and it was worth a try.
And you made the move.
I did.
And you made the move. And today, you've been with us how long?
21 years next week.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah
And you've had a very good career in your 21 years here.
I would say so.
You started like everyone else in patrol as a trainee, if you will.
I did.
And then you moved about. Tell us a little bit about your travel route.
Okay. So I started in Newport News in 2004 and went to South Precinct, worked South 2. Okay. And in Newport News you get to bid for where you want to work when you're in patrol, which was pretty cool. There's three precincts, three shifts on each precinct. And I was low man on the totem pole because I was new when those bids came out. So like I came in September.
Right.
Each October we used to bid.
Yep.
So I didn't get a lot of choice in it, but I got moved to North Precinct, which I grew up in Denby. I was really enjoying my time in South Precinct, but that I had family that lived in Denby, and I was pretty excited about that. So
you're the hometown kid.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff.
I guess so.
Came full circle, came back to literally the neighborhoods where you grew up.
Yeah.
And you were policing them. Wild.
I remember first getting there and people not knowing me, and they told me, they said, well, listen, you may be used to South Precinct where all the roads,
sure,
they're numbered, And so it's easy to find your way around. They said, you're probably going to get lost up here. I was like, oh, okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I got moved to Area 32, which is like is the middle of North Precinct, with Beachmont, which that's where I grew up. I grew up in that Beachmont area for the most part.
Yes.
There's swam at Beachwood Pool. And
wow.
Yeah, I used to ride my bike right up Beachmont Drive to that Taco Bell and on a regular basis. I was like, oh, okay, I'll try to figure it out.
Yeah, and you did.
And I did. So I did, I was North 2, North 3. Finally finished my degree at Christopher Newport, my bachelor's, started my master's while I was on midnight shift, and decided I wanted to try something a little different. Okay. And went to put in for investigations, and I went to North Investigations.
So what were you investigating as a North Precinct investigator?
So at the time, the precinct investigations, we did burglaries, frauds, embezzlements to some extent. The lower ones, the bigger amounts or the more complicated cases went to economic crimes. But the area that I worked for that, I had quite a few of those, different types of property crimes. Okay. For the most part. And then a lot of just general things, like something that might not fall in another pot, the precinct captain might want that investigated in there. Yeah, so a lot of different cases with that.
And that, I imagine that gave you a lot of experience that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten while you're on patrol. And you used it for the future, right? Used it in the sense that it benefited you in your investigations.
Yeah, absolutely. The investigative route is something, it was different. I wouldn't have said a few years prior to that would have been something that would have interested me. But
right.
As a patrol officer, I did the crash reconstructions. So I had a little bit of that investigative experience, and I think I just wanted to try something different. I felt like I had done a lot of things in patrol. I was a general instructor. I was a field training officer. Like I said, did crash team, did the breath tests and the DUIs enforcement aspects. So it was just time. It was just time.
Yeah. So you enjoyed it thoroughly, but it was time for the next step.
Yes,
and I think
different.
We've all experienced that.
Right.
Yeah. So I did that, and moved over to special victims for just a little while, and wanted to put in for sergeant. I felt like at that point I was ready, and I put in for sergeant, and I got promoted and went to Central Precinct, which is
okay.
Yeah, I was a sergeant there on mostly watch two,
so evening shift.
Yeah, for patrol. I love working nights. That's
you learn so much.
That's where the fun's at.
It is, and the learning as a young sergeant. As a new sergeant, yeah. The learning curve on watch two accelerates.
Yeah, you better show up on your game.
Yeah.
You better top notch. Yeah, absolutely. Well rested and ready to rock and roll, because evening shift, it gets busy. That's the truth. It just gets busy.
Yep.
So then you become a lieutenant eventually.
Eventually, yep. As a sergeant, did patrol as a sergeant, did investigations as a sergeant, did special operations as a sergeant.
That's right.
Very brief time in internal affairs.
Yep.
And then I get promoted to lieutenant, and all that time as sergeant, never worked north or south.
Okay.
And then I got promoted to lieutenant, went back north, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Great, great work. And I think that's the beauty of the Newport News Police Department, is we're able to move around.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not the kind of person that can work in one place for 25 years. It's just not going to happen. I think a lot of us get into law enforcement because we can't sit in an office for 25 years.
We just can't sit still.
We can't
period.
Do it. So yeah. We're able to move. And I think you mentioned something very important that all of our viewers and listeners should know, is that every year in patrol, you get to bid for a different shift.
Yeah.
Different shift, meaning midnights, evenings, or days, right? And a different precinct.
That's right.
That's incredible, right? Does everyone offer that? I don't know. I worked for the Newport News Police Department. So you finish your degree, you become a captain, and now you are where?
I'm in special investigations now.
What does that mean, special investigations?
It's the gang investigations, the narcotics investigations, the task force officers, and the real-time crime center, and the fugitive apprehension unit.
So you got a little bit on your plate?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot to juggle at once.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed my time as a precinct captain in North Precinct, and there's a lot there, and I really felt like I got to make a difference in the community I grew up in. Used to ride my bike in, maybe got chased once or twice riding a skateboard.
Not by the police, obviously.
So yeah,
we're just gonna keep going. We're just gonna keep going.
Next question, please. Yeah. So you're literally like, you're the hometown boy kind of story. I mean, you grew up in the Denby area. You come back to serve the community. Not only that, but you did your military time. You served our country. I mean, you're like a shining example of a lot of folks we have on our agency. Would you agree?
Yeah. Melissa?
Yeah. We got some real rock stars that have come back to serve their community.
Absolutely, we do.
We do. Yeah. And I think we three, having been in leadership positions, can attest to that. We have some police officers, we'll call them law enforcement officers because obviously some are detectives. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they're amazing people. Like, they're in it to win it for the citizens.
Yeah.
And that's invaluable to us.
Yes.
So, hey, Matt, how are we doing on time, buddy?
We're doing great. Just fine.
Now, did you have a question by any chance for Randy?
Well, I do know that some of the discussions that we had earlier, you know, touching on the size of the departments, I found that very, very interesting, and how Captain Cup, you said you felt like this was kind of the right size for you. And that it wasn't too big, but not too small. And I was wondering if you could kind of touch on that a little bit too.
Sure.
Kind of a Goldilocks approach.
Well, there's a that's
nicely said.
It's pretty broad, and I'll try to narrow in my response to that. So, in terms of the size, what we're a little under five, we're going to 500.
Yeah,
we're
right?
gonna get there.
Yep. So we're going to 500. We're at four. Forget the exact count right now. We're 472 authorized,
I
right?
I think so, yeah.
472 authorized, eight additional ones that just came on. So so the size of the department, there's a lot of people. There's just a lot of people here. And, you know, for the three of us, like, I have known, you're almost at 20 years, right?
Oh, don't remind me, yes. It's slowly creeping into sight.
And Morgan had a few more, and like I said, I'm coming up on 21, and I feel like I've known both of you for over 20.
Yes.
And just under 20. Mm-hmm. And we've only crossed paths as far as assignments go.
Right.
As far as assignments go, we've only crossed paths for both of us one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Central Precinct.
That's
when
correct.
I got promoted to sergeant, yep. I was on the shift with Lieutenant Morgan, with Melissa. And when I was a sergeant in investigations is when you were a lieutenant, when you
That's
came
correct.
There as a lieutenant.
That's correct.
And even though, like, we've only been assigned together that one time, I see you guys on a regular basis.
Yep.
Or our jobs or social aspects of life, just we interact, right?
Right.
So it's big in the sense of, I work with a lot of different people. I have moved around. I've worked in a lot of different divisions. You guys have too. And we've only been assigned together one time.
Right.
Now there's others that maybe not quite as much, but that I've been assigned with several times. And you see it each time you transferred, you get back in and you're with people that you'd worked with in the past. So it's still small in that sense that when you get transferred, you're not looking at a whole bunch of strangers.
Right.
But you are constantly working with different people.
Right.
The different types of jobs and the things that we have here, it does feel like it's a big department. And I felt like that in Central Precinct, especially.
Right.
You know, it's not LAX, but we have an airport. You know?
Yeah, we do. We have an airport, absolutely.
It's not the University of Michigan, but I'm very proud of Christopher Newport University. I'm a proud alumni.
Absolutely.
You should be. And the way it's grown. I originally started taking classes there in 1995.
Right.
I didn't finish until 2007. So, but the way that it's grown. We have a college there, we have rail line, which it's moved now in Denby.
Yeah.
But you know, we have the railroad.
Sure.
So we have all these major infrastructure. The shipyard is, you know, that's
massive.
The pride of the city.
Absolutely.
Historically. Yeah. And everything. I mean, you know, we build the best ships in the world here.
Yeah, we do.
And so there's a lot to the city, and it's in different parts of the city as well. So there's a lot of different crimes, a lot of different outreach that we like to do, and there's a lot of different jobs. So in patrol, you know, talked about some of those different things that I've been able to experience and been able to do. Like, so as a patrol officer, you know, which is where we start and we go back to quite
sure.
a bit, the things that you can do while you're in patrol here and some of the different things, I got to be an investigator with the crashes.
You know, sure.
The crash reconstruction team. I think when I first started, we called it SCAT, serious crash.
That's what it was
team.
When I was there. Yep.
That was mostly fatalities, but mm-hmm. sometimes the yep. more complex ones or the high liability ones.
Sure.
So I got to do those investigations as a patrol officer. It gave me a window into the investigative world. Also got to be a teacher, a general instructor,
right,
and a field training officer, which the general instructors we would teach at our basic law enforcement academy class. That's not just the instructors that are assigned to training. They pull people in from all over the department so that when you get hired here, you're being taught by the Newport News police officers, the whole department.
Right.
Which is why they get that training that we want them to have, because you're being trained by the people you're going to work with.
Yeah, I think that's brilliantly summed up, because it's large enough that you can move about, right? You can diversify your career, right? But yet that camaraderie is still present, like a small town, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's beautifully summed up. Yeah, I felt very similarly when I was here, and I still feel that. Even though I'm retired, I still feel a connection to the Newport News Police Department if I don't see all of my colleagues on a frequent basis. You know, I might see them at City Center when there's a city function. You still feel that camaraderie. I do believe Newport News is a special place.
I do too.
And I think you all both agree with me. It is a place where we choose to live, right? We're comfortable enough with our salaries that we could probably choose to live wherever we want in a city, because it's comparable in cost of housing and so forth, so on. But we choose to live in Newport News because we love Newport News. I think it's a magical city. And I'm not advertising Newport News, but I just feel that way. So my wife and I choose to continue to live in Newport News. I agree totally with you. And a phenomenal, not to toot our own horns plural, but we have an incredible police department.
Yeah, we do.
Like we are focused on service. 100%. Give it everything you have. I don't know what other agencies do, because I didn't work with other agencies, but I can tell you, as a retired captain with the Newport News Police Department, now on the outside looking in, Newport News is committed, man. Newport News Police Department, tip top.
Agreed.
Yep. So, Melissa, are we ready for, you know what?
Are we going to do rapid fire?
Are you ready, Randy?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Now, are you, before I forget, are you still connected with CNU in any way? I know you're alumni. I know you're Lionsbridge. Are you still connected in any way?
Yeah, I do the alumni things. I go out to the different events. Oh yeah, yeah. I like I said, it's a small school, Division III, but it doesn't matter. I want to know. I keep up with everything that goes on out there. And I tried when I was doing all the different special event coordinations. Like, we would try to do things out there with them as well.
Right.
But yeah, the Lionsbridge games, the soccer teams, their soccer seasons are kicking off for the women's and the men's teams. So we follow that pretty closely. We go out for football games, basketball games, the volleyball games. Spring's kind of tough, but you know, baseball and softball teams. And I don't want to leave anybody out. There's a lot there.
Right.
And like I said, the campus just keeps growing. So
it's beautiful.
So yeah, I like to track to see where that's heading. And, there's I guess one original building from when I first started there, which is Ratcliffe, but that's completely changed. That used to be the gym.
Right.
And then it changed to the government building, which is, so I went there quite a bit, and now that's really
CNU is still in your heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Rapid fire. Are you ready, pal?
I'm going to try.
Melissa, would you do the honors?
I definitely would do the
honors. Okay, here we go.
This is going to be a fun one. All right, best soccer player ever, Messi, Ronaldo, or Pele?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's a tough one.
Come on.
Because you love soccer.
I do. I'm usually nostalgic. I'm going to go Pele.
Pele?
Yeah, nothing against Ronaldo and Messi. The two of them, they had each other to keep that conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
He just,
on his own,
what he was doing then, and people all over the world would watch the beautiful game because of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to Pele.
Yeah. How about you, Melissa? Are you follow soccer?
So shameless. This is so shameful.
No, it's okay.
I only followed Ronaldo because he's just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm not a soccer fan.
I'm sure that there are many people out there that will agree with you, Melissa. Yeah. I've had to hear that once or twice. I'm
Maybe.
A married man. Yeah. I'm a married man. I will have to say that I'm going to pass on this question here, because I would have to answer and it's not an Italian player. So I don't want problems. So I'm going to pass on answering.
I'm just going with the three. I'm just going out of the three.
Right, out of those again, three.
No, and by the way,
no disrespect.
It's okay. Lionsbridge has players from all over the world.
Yeah.
Our local team.
Yeah. Anybody you want to discuss her?
Hey, Davide Materazzi, man. If you're out there, Davide, look. I mean, the guy's from Italy.
That just kind of rolled off your tongue.
Yeah.
That is Morgan's favorite player.
It's and also my nephew's.
And his nephew's. And you know, the little story behind that is his dad was a famous Italian player, which which I didn't really follow as close back then, but what I'll always remember is him getting headbutted in the chest in the World Cup.
Do you remember?
I do. I was watching the game.
Yeah. So this player that plays in Newport News, Virginia, Davide Materazzi, his father was not only a player in the Italian A League, what they call Serie A, but he also played for the national team. So that's his son, and his son plays in Newport News, Virginia.
Right here in little Newport News.
Is that wild? Or?
That's
wild. And by the way, for the record, my nephew's favorite players, it's going to be plural. Davide Materazzi is one of them. He also likes Harry, and I can go on and on and on. But anyways, all right, so here we go. College, high school, right? Any kind of exam, multiple choice test or essay?
Once upon a time, I would have told you multiple choice.
Okay.
I think now I would prefer essay because I feel like I can get more of my thoughts out.
You can expand
with
if you
it.
Will.
I think that's probably expound. a stronger suit than picking the right one. So for me, I go essay.
Melissa?
I do essay too. Eventually, you're going to talk yourself into the right answer.
Yeah, there's a little more leeway for success.
A little bit more space.
Or you're going to go down a road that might make the teacher forget the question.
A distraction, Randy. Sometimes distractions win. Hey,
conversations are good, right?
Absolutely,
right?
They are.
Conversations are good.
Absolutely, they are. Okay. Oh, this might be a little tough one. Next question, Melissa.
Debate.
Here we go.
French fries or onion rings?
Ooh, well, variety's the spice of life. So it's too broad.
Too broad.
It's too broad. I don't know.
You're gonna go. It depends on the day.
Where are we at?
I think it depends on the fry.
Yeah. Where are we at?
Yeah.
Because if you say McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, that's winning every day.
Yeah, waffle fries are, we're going to go waffle fries.
Waffle fries are a winner.
Waffle fries are delicious.
They're winning.
How often do you have onion rings? And what are you doing afterwards? We're going to have some of those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's be, I might need to be a little courteous to whoever I'm talking to.
Getting in the car and going home.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. Question number four. Would you rather be able to see the future or change the past?
Too philosophical.
Yeah, that's a
well, we always wonder about the future.
Yes,
right.
Do.
The past is you know what? I'd rather see the future. The past is the past. So you can't unchange what's been done.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So you're always building for the future. You do change the future. It's not you change the future. So yeah, I'd like to have that insight.
Yeah, dwelling on the past sometimes is very...
Right. Keeps you up at night, right?
Keeps you up at night, yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't particularly want to know the future, but I sure do like to contribute to it, though, like you said, right?
Well, you do.
You do. I mean, you put in the work, right? Yeah. I mean, I think we all do that in some way, shape, or form. So, a last question, and here we are, Melissa.
You want to do it?
No, after you, please.
Okay, all right. What is the best compliment you've received at work?
I don't know if it's the best compliment. Something that has stood out is when I have forgotten about something and just forgotten about event, and you find out later on what type of impact you had, whether it was something you said, something you did. That has been the biggest thing for me, and I could give a couple different stories with it, but those are the things that really matter. And some of them, like maybe I knew in the moment it was kind of a big deal, but a lot of them it wasn't. It was another call for service. It was in between a busy night. One was a really long court. It was drawn out in court a long time. So there's just been a couple of other things, but a lot of times the ones that really hit you is like it's a year, 2 years, three, maybe a lot, maybe longer. And or somebody sees your name and then asks if you were that person, and you say, that sounds right, that's me. They bring up something and you realize that you had an impact, and it wasn't just once or twice. That has been, whether it was somebody else from work, whether it was a citizen, whether it was a partner, it doesn't matter. Like that, to me, that actually is the biggest, I would say that's the biggest compliment.
Well, it's genuine.
Yeah, well, you have somebody just telling you the impact, and to me, that's a compliment.
It's genuine. It's coming from their heart. They mean it, because you've completely forgotten about it. You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes you just need it recalled,
recalled, yeah, you will. Yeah. It's you did something out of the goodness of your heart, and it paid dividends for that individual.
Yeah.
Because something good came out of it, you know, even if it was just the feeling of somebody caring about them. And I think that goes on a lot in our line of work. There's so many men and women out there, especially in our agency, who go out there and they do good. You know, when I used to teach at the academy, and maybe one day they'll have me back, but I used to say, in order to do well, you must first do good, right? Mm-hmm. There's a distinct difference between well and good. Well is up here, good is from here. And when we go out and about in our daily work, we do well, right? Because we're trained to do well.
Right.
But this is the good part right here, and you leave a lasting impression when we do that. So what a pleasure. Like, Randy, it's so good to see you, man. It's literally been, it feels like a couple of months, because it probably has been. It's something like that, right?
If you say so. Like, yeah.
It's crazy, right?
It is. It's, yeah, it's been a little while, but, you know, we'll have to see each other before.
I'm sure.
Before the next soccer season starts up.
It's been a pleasure to work with you all these years. I can tell you that Special Investigations Division is blessed to have you as their leader. You're tip top. You care about the people in your charge. But you never lose focus of the fact that you are their leader. And I'm very appreciative of that. And it's nice as a retiree, and I say this for Melissa as well, to know that as a retiree, the department is in fantastic hands. And I trust those people, because I know them from personally working with them. So y'all are both tip top. Thanks, Randy, for taking the time, brother. Really do.
All right.
Melissa, we're on all kinds of platforms.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, like we're everywhere. You can see us on video. You can hear us, right? You can put us on your radio.
Like us.
Like us.
Box.
Yeah, and then Apple, too. There's a function on the phone.
Download the app.
That you taught my wife. Yeah, as well. So, but I think, listen, we've enjoyed today. Randy, thanks again. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.